I just want to thank, first of all, the pastor for letting me be here. Thank you, church, for letting me be here. Thank you, Pastor Chris, family. It's a big blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And from Honduras, from my family, I just want to say hello to everybody. And deeply from our hearts, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for us and for reading our letters. And I know you guys doing it. And the only thing that is making us stay in Honduras, the only thing that is what God is doing in Honduras is because of your prayers. Amen. It's not easy, but God has helping us to do what we're doing in Honduras. This 80 years that God has let me be in the country of Honduras, almost 9 years, we have been able to see 7 churches starting. 7 of those have already have a building, 5 of those churches. And we are preaching in the radio Tuesdays and Fridays. And we preach in the TV Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. And I was telling Pastor that for almost a year, the owner of the television was telling me to get a program in the TV. I didn't want to. But God talked to me and said, this is a big opportunity. And we have seen, we just got 1 month being the TV, we have seen people have called us, people have said what a blessing has been hearing us, the word of God in the TV. So I just ask you to please continue praying for us. We have a new ministry that we are starting right now, and that's the ministry of giving out Bibles. We have a big privilege in our country of Honduras. In here, sadly, in our country of United States, we don't have that privilege. And the privilege is that we can go and preach in each school of Honduras. And the end of last year, I was in a meeting with the mayor of our city of Sonaguera, Colón, and the minister of education of Sonaguera, Colón. And they said, it's good for our kids to learn subjects in math, social studies, science, history, and all these subjects. But the only thing that is going to change our country is the Word of God. Amen. He said, sadly, our country last year and this year have broke the record. Our country, Honduras, is the first country that has the worst crime in the world. And I'm not saying it for being proud. I'm saying it because of sadness, how it is in our country, Honduras. And he said, the mayor said, the only thing that is going to change our next generation is the word of God. Amen. He said, probably this generation is hard-headed, but the next generation, we train them from where down when they're little kids. When they grow up, they will do the right thing. They were making an interview last time to me, and they asked me, what do you think about the kids? They're the present and the future. And I told them, yes, they're the present of right now to train in the right way so they can do the future of our country, Honduras, and the world. I was able to get in touch with a print shop here in the States because, sadly, in Honduras, we don't have print shops to print our Bibles. And thank God that we were able to get in touch with them. And they are helping us to print Bibles so we can send to our country of Honduras. The cost of each Bible to be shipped into Honduras is $4. And we are planning to give a Bible to a kid. We are doing that, giving a Bible to a kid, a John of Romans. And we're giving a pencil and notebook to the kids, because the poverty is very bad in the country of Honduras. And the Bibles that we're giving out is this kind of Bibles. And we just pray God will provide the money so we can give a Bible to each kid, and a John of Romans, and a notebook and a pencil for each kid can read the Word of God. And I know that they're doing it already in these schools. The teachers, we had a meeting with the teachers and principals of each school of the city of Sonaguera, and they said, they promise that we're going to put one hour a week to teach Bibles to the kids. And we have to take the advantage, we have to take the opportunity that the doors are open in the country of Honduras. Because if not, the door's going to be shut.
Right.
Sadly, we're not going to be able to see a country of Honduras come to the feet of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Please pray for that. We need to give 12,000 Bibles in the city of Sonaguera. And a week ago, I had a meeting with another minister of education from another city. This an hour and a half from the capital of Honduras, is Tegucigalpa. And he has given us the opportunity and the doors open to spread 11,000 Bibles in the schools of La Paz, Honduras. So please pray for that, because God is doing a lot of good things. I have received a lot of calls. One of the calls that I received was a senator from our state of Colón. And he was saying, why you are choosing just Sonaguera if you don't want to choose the other cities around Sonaguera? And I told him, if you let me get into the schools, I will try my best to get the materials, get the Bibles, to give to each kid a word of God so they can see, read, and hear what the Bible shows us. When I was a small kid, I was born in a Christian family. I was not born saved, but I was born in a Christian family. And when I was presented to the church, my mom gave me a Bible. And my mama wrote me in the first page, she said, son, sin is going to take you away from this book, or this book is going to take you away from sin. And this is true.
Amen.
This book is the only one to change our world. It's not politics.
Right.
It's not social works. It's not social clubs. It's not the things around. The only thing is the word of God.
Amen.
So please pray, because we want Honduras to be spread the word of God. And I know you guys are going to be praying for that, so God will provide us the money so we could give out the Bibles. Our goal is this year to give out more than the two cities, 11,000 in one city and 12,000 in another city. Please pray for that. Pray for my wife, my two kids. You're going to be seeing in the video. We got two kids. My wife has two kids. She was the one who had it. I didn't have any kids. I'm still waiting for that, but I can. So my wife has two kids. The older one is Joshua, and the little one is Angel. Pray for them. So God will help them. They couldn't come this trip with me, but hopefully next time they could come and be here with you, with this church. I got a small video that I was able to make about what God is doing in the country of Honduras. Thank you, church. That I was preaching on the radio with, his name is Samuel Maya. He came out from the children's home, and he's getting trained to be a pastor. And God is using him.
Amen.
God is using him.
Amen. Yes.
I just want to say it again, thank you for letting me be here. Just keep praying for us, so God continue using us in the country of Honduras.
Amen.
People are excited about the Bibles. The time they heard that we were giving Bibles away, I have received a lot of calls, people. When I went to a school, I remember last week when I went to one school, I give a Bible to a young girl. The first thing she did, Pastor, she got the Bible, she kissed the Bible, and she hugged it. She opened it. She was so happy with the Word of God. Her mom's other family members asking us, can I have one? Can I have another one? Please, I want a Bible. I need a Bible so I can read the Word of God. Sadly, we can afford it to give each person one. We just give right now to each kid in his school. People want to hear of God. Please pray for them. Pray for us, for our support, so God continues having to to feed our kids, our family, take care of our bills. And we ask you to please pray. We're trying to get a motorcycle to go up the mountain. Last time they went to the mountain with preacher, Pastor Chris, he fell down from the mountain. And the worst thing, that I was behind him. He dropped me. I told him, do you know how to ride a motorcycle? Yes, I've been riding a motorcycle for a long time. He dropped me. I'm serious, he dropped me. I thought you guys wouldn't say, oh, you're laughing. That's not right. And he's skinnier than me, he jumped on top of me. Please pray. We're trying to get a race for a motorcycle, raising money for the motorcycles, cost $2,700. So we go to the mountains and give the Bibles to the kids there in the mountains too. They need the Word of God too. Let's go to the Word of God, brothers and sisters. Pastor was saying I needed to make some people to remind me. So next time when I come, nobody can say, I have not heard Brother Josue preach. So I want you to remember this. Don't forget about this wetback. John chapter 11. Hopefully next time, when I say this wetback, you know who is it. John chapter 11, we're going to read a couple of verses. I know there's a lot of things going in this service. We got the Lord's Supper. And I just want to talk a little bit about this chapter, this verses. I was fighting with the Lord. I was telling Pastor Chris before I came, saying, Lord, please help me. But God wanted me to teach, talk a little bit about this John chapter 11. And we can stand up a little bit. I want you to stretch yourself a little bit. I told Pastor, how long I have? And he said, go ahead. He said, but in half an hour, I will leave, and you can stay there preaching. So I'm just trying to make you stress a little bit. John chapter 11, if you have it, can you please say amen? Amen. The Bible shows us in John chapter 11, verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, came into the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lift up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when thou hast spoken, he cried with loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hands and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound upon with napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. You may sit down. I want to say before we continue, I want to apologize if I say something wrong. Spanish is my first language. English is my second language. And usually, most of the time, I speak English when Pastor Chris calls me or I call him. And I forget a lot of words in English. Please forgive me, but hopefully you can understand me. Then we're looking here in a story about John chapter 11. We know when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he used to travel from one city to another city, from a village to another village, trying to preach the word of his Father. And we know that he used to do a lot of miracles. And there was a lot of crowd of people trying with him. A lot of them used to follow Jesus just to criticize him. A lot of them used to follow Jesus just to receive what Jesus could give them. But a lot of them used to follow Jesus because they love Jesus. Amen. And we see that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were good friends about Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ loved these people. They were great friends. But there was one day that Lazarus was very, very, very sick. I don't know what sickness he had, but I'm sure that he was very, very, very sick. And Jesus was not close where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary was. He was far away. And they sent a messenger. They didn't send a text message. They didn't go in and get a cell phone and call him because there was no cell phones at that time. But they sent a messenger. And this messenger went and said, Jesus, your great friend Lazarus is dying. And I believe it's his last breath of this earth. Jesus Christ knew what was going on, but he didn't pay attention at that moment. The reason why is because he had something prepared, something big, something wonderful. He wanted to do something special.
Amen.
And when Jesus Christ came, there's Martha, Mary, we're sad, we're crying because his brother was gone. Lazarus was dead already. And Jesus Christ, the Bible shows us that Jesus Christ cried together with them. But you know what? I think to myself, Pastor, that Lazarus was dead. You know what? I think to myself at this moment is that when we were in the world, we were dead. Amen. Without Christ.
Amen.
We were dead in our sins. We were going straight to hell. And we need to remember, like with this day, that we have our Lord's Supper and we're reminding Jesus Christ that came and died for us at the cross. You know what? We were nothing.
Amen.
We were going straight to hell. What about you? What about me? Where you been without Jesus at this moment?
Amen.
For sure you should have been in the bar. For sure your marriage should be separated right now. For sure your kids would be in drugs. But thank God. Thank God that he passed by us.
Amen.
Thank God that he cared about us. Thank God that he sent his son to be God's son and die at the cross for you and for me. And we need to remember what he did at that cross. He shed his blood. He didn't deserve it. He was the son of God. He was perfect. He was a perfect lamb. He didn't need to die at the cross. He didn't need to come to this earth, to this sinful earth. But he did it because he loves you and he loves us. And we need to remember ourselves each day, each moment, each second, each minute, and remember what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Because Jesus Christ did something big for us. Marriage was going to divorce. Our kids were going straight on the wrong steps. I remember, Pastor, that my parents have told me, before they were coming, before they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, my dad and my mom were living in a worldly world. In a worldly life, they were getting to a point of the marriage that they couldn't control themselves. And they were thinking about getting divorced. But my dad, one wonderful day, he was coming out from his house. He was going to go to the post office to get a pictures from my baby's. Oh, at that time it was my baby sister. And when he was walking down the stairs to go to the car, there was a neighbor named Michael. Michael, my daddy's name is Angel, and there was two men in front of the door of Michael, and Michael screamed, "Hey, Angel! Hey, Angel! Come over here, Angel." And the first thing that my dad looked over there, he saw two men there. He said, "Oh, man, Michael, well, he wants to take away their brothers, their Christians, and send it over to me." And that was the purpose of Michael. Michael wanted to get away from these preachers. Wanted to get away from these people that was preaching the gospel to him. But you know what? The good things that these people were trained the proper way. One man stayed there with Michael, and the other man with an angel. This day, my dad said that that day, he saw he was going straight to hell. And he recognized there was no other way. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. From that day on, his marriage was different. From that day on, our life was different. You know, Lazarus was dead, but he needed a miracle. We were dead in sin, and we needed a miracle. And that miracle came to our family. That miracle came to Maryland. That miracle came to the United States. That miracle came to North America. That miracle came to this earth. And that was Jesus Christ that came and died for you and for me. But the message of tonight that I want to put is take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. That's the message of tonight. Let us pray. Dear God, I want to ask you to forgive all my sins. I don't deserve to be here, but you have given me the opportunity to be here. Please talk to your people. I ask you, your people have left everything what they're doing to come and hear you and hear your word of God. I ask you, in Jesus' name, amen. Take ye away the stone. You know what? I don't know, brothers and sisters, but most of there are a lot in Honduras. You know, our roads are over there where we are in Honduras, our roads are not the same roads that we have here in the States. Our roads are over there, are mud, are dirt, are rocks, are sand. Over there, our roads, preacher. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Chris. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes when I'm walking in the road, you know what are we talking about? There's stones that comes inside, or little rocks that comes inside our shoe. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But you know what? There's a lot of times, preacher, that I'm walking in that road, and a little rock comes inside my shoe. But you know what? I'm so lazy to get down and take away my shoe and shake my shoe, and that stone or that little rock come out of my shoe, right? You understand what I'm talking about, right? So I'm so lazy because I don't want nobody to smell my stinky sock, you know? So you know what I do most of the time when I get a little rock in my shoe? I do this. And I continue walking, right? You know what I'm talking about. But you know what? The little rocks start again there. And getting into my feet, you know? And it hurts. But I don't want to be so rude, you know, to the people take away my shoe and the smelly sock. So you know what? I'm so lazy about that. So what I do is I go. And again, I continue walking. You know, you guys don't do that. You guys are perfect. You guys come down, take away your shoe, you untie your shoe, you go like that and shake your shoe. The rock come out, you put your shoe back, you untie your shoe again. Right. But I'm lazy, you know. So I'm walking in the street, and I'm still, there's something bothering me, you know. Something that's messing around my shoe. Something that's messing around my feet. But I'm so lazy, I don't want to take my shoe out. And that little rock is there. But I don't want to take it out, and I go. And I continue walking. There's rocks in our lives. They're stopping us from coming to church. And we're so lazy, and we don't want to recognize it because we don't want the world to take us away and say bad things about us. So what do? We just shake it around. There's rocks in our body. There's rocks in our lives that's taking us away from reading the book of the Bible. Like preacher said, we got books. We got a Bible in the kitchen. We got a Bible in the bathroom. We got a Bible in the car. We got Bible in cell phones. We got Bibles in iPads. We got Bibles in computer. But it's a rock. I don't know what rock is messing around with your feet. But there are rocks in our lives that we don't want to take away. And we're just so lazy that we just go and continue walking our lives. Thinking that it's going to be perfect. Thinking that living that life is going to take us to heaven. Thinking that that life is going to take our kids in the right steps. Thinking that our life is going to fix our marriage. But there's stones in our life. There's rocks in our life. We just want to shake it for a little bit. Just for a little bit. Just for a couple days. Just for a couple months, just for a couple years, and we just want to continue doing our life, living two roads at the same time. And the Bible shows us that God says it's better that you be cold or hot and not warm, because I will spit you out from my mouth. But we just want to act outside like we are what we are. And we come to church and we act like a very good Christian because we just shake it a little bit. We don't want to come to the altar and say, God, I want you to take away that stone. That stone is messing our marriage. That stone is messing around with our kids. That stone is taking away our eyes. That stone don't want to let me go to Sunday school. That stone is not letting me go to Sunday night service. That stone is not letting me go to Wednesday night service. That stone is not letting me read my Bible. That stone is not letting me pray to God. That stone is not letting me give for missions. That stone is not letting me go and tell elders about Christ. You guys were very happy when I was talking about I was lazy, right? But there's stones in our lives. They just want to shake it. And you don't want to continue out doing the right thing. We're so lazy. We don't want to come to the front. And we don't want to give it out to Christ. Christ gave it all for us. He gave all his life for you and me. But you know what? Church, take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. And we look again in John chapter 11, verse 38. There's a word there that is hard for me to pronounce, but I'm going to ask Pastor Chris to pronounce it for me, the proper English word. And the Bible shows us, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. Groaning, I believe with all my heart, it means compassion. Do you have compassion for your kids? Do you have compassion for your husband or your wife? You have compassion for the people. Jesus Christ had compassion. When he was in the earth, the Bible shows us there in Matthew that he had compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible shows us that Jesus Christ saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. The only thing that is going to make me continue Honduras, the only thing that is going to make me move the stone, take away the stone, take that thing that is stopping me from continue giving out Bibles, continue preaching the word, continue starting churches, continue serving God, continue doing the right thing, is that I have compassion in my heart. Do you have compassion? A lot of people don't even know what's compassion. Some people think it's compassion is, okay. Compassion is when you move, you feel bad. Some people just, their compassion emotional for a minute, for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours, for a year, for 2 years. And they don't continue on. Jesus Christ was compassion. The Bible shows us in Matthew chapter 9. And then he shows here that he was compassion, moved with compassion for Lazarus. And then the Bible shows that he was on the cross. He had compassion for me. He had compassion for you. He had compassion for our family. He had compassion for America. He had compassion for the world. I don't know if you understand. You know what I'm talking about. But you know what? He had compassion for us, brothers and sisters. He didn't care how tall you are or how short you are. If you got big nose, small nose. If you got big ears, small ears. If you're a big mouth or small mouth. If you got big eyes, small eyes. It doesn't matter if you're my color or you're white or black. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ have compassion for each person. Lazarus was dead. Nobody cared about him no more. He was dead already. He spelled bad. But Jesus Christ had compassion. Look at again the verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself came into the grave, and there was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. He was moved with compassion. He was not just moved with compassion. He said, I feel bad, and he continued living his life. No. So there's a lot of times that there's a lot of missionaries or a lot of Christians that say, I feel sorry for that. And they continue doing what they want to do. and they don't go and preach the gospel to that person, to each creature. But you know what? To move away the stone, I say number one, we need compassion, right? Church, amen, you're with me? Or you left, because I have not left yet. I'm still here. Amen. Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. Number two. We got 5 points. We're close. Okay, number two already. Look what the Bible shows us in chapter verse 39. And Jesus said, take ye away the what? The stone. Take ye away the stone. To take ye away the stone, it means that Jesus Christ was talking. I don't know if you got a King James Bible, what I have in my hand, or in the pulpit that I'm preaching right now. But if you have the right King James Bible that what I read, it shows in my King James Bible that when Jesus Christ talks or he says something, it was written in red. Amen. You with me? You agree with me? Amen. So that means if you read very clear that chapter 11, verse 39, it shows, take ye away the stone. It shows in what color? Red. It means important. If you go outside, anywhere you go, you will see a color red. It means pay attention. Amen? It means look. It means, hey, quit sleeping. Wake up. And look what's going on. When you're driving and you pass a light, what is it? Green to go and red to what? Stop. It means to stop because Jesus Christ is talking. You know what? When it says that verse, take ye away the stone. It's the same thing that Jesus Christ talks to us in Mark chapter 15. It says, go ye to all the world. That's it's the same thing. It's talking. He was saying, take ye away the stone. He was saying to that people, they were in the funeral and they were in the cemetery. They have put this Lazarus in that cave. He was telling to them, go ye and take away the stone. It's the same thing that's telling us, go ye and preach the gospel to each creature. It's the same thing to us, brothers and sisters. The Bible showing us here obedience. To take away the stone, we need to obey. When daddy talks in our house, well, in the old times, this time we are so soft, right? Remember when your dad used to talk to you, preacher? Hey, you didn't say, hey, wait, daddy. Let me think, daddy. Hey, let me see. I will go right now and throw the garbage. Let me see. Amen. What happened now, you know? Most of the time now, you know, even to my kids, you know? Hey, Joshua, go throw the garbage. Yeah, daddy, I will go. Uh-huh, yes, yeah, daddy. But years ago, when your dad talked, you better start moving before he finished talking. Amen? And Jesus Christ, he was talking. He said, hey, go ye and take the stone off. Go ye and win his souls to Christ. Go ye and preach the gospel. Go ye and do what God's telling you to do. And God, Jesus Christ is saying here that we need to obey so we can take away the stone. First of all, we need compassion. Second of all, we need to be obedience, right? Obedience. You remember, I don't know if you remember in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus Christ was doing the Lord's Supper to his disciples. I don't know if you have read the Bible, but if you have not read it, you can go home and read in chapter 26, and you can continue reading the whole chapter. When we're doing the Lord's Supper, you can see there in the Lord's Supper, when he finished doing the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he went out to the mountain of Gethsemane, right? When he was going that way, he took three of his disciples, right? Amen? You with me? You with me, right? Okay. When he takes the three disciples, he says, hey, stay here, because I'm going to continue more ahead. I need to pray to my Father. And when he was praying to his Father, when he finished praying to his Father, he came back and he saw, hey, guys, what's going on? You can't even be with me a couple minutes, a couple hours? What's going on? And then he said, continue to pray so you don't fail in temptation, right? Amen? You with me? Then he went back. And remember the words that Jesus Christ said to his Father. Father, let the cup pass. It's not me. He said, I can't do it. He was saying that word. I cannot do it. This body that probably I have don't want to. I go to the cross. But it will be your will, Father, right? It will be your will, Father. And that's the only thing that is going to keep us reading the Bible. That's the only thing that is going to keep us preaching the gospel. That's the only good thing that is going to keep us praying to Him. That's the only way He's going to keep us coming to church. If we look and say, it will be your will, Father, and not my will. These two hands, it's not my hands. These two feet, it's not my feet. This mouth is not my mouth. This ears is not my ears. This nose is not my nose. This eyes is not my eyes. It belongs to my Father in heaven. There was a man that he was in work. And he was sitting in the middle of two men. And the man on the right said, hey, friend, can you pass this beer to mother friend? And the guy in the middle, he said, I can't. What? What are you talking about that you can't pass this beer to your, to my friend? He said, I can't. I can't. He said, well, you don't have two hands? Yes, I have two hands. But it's not mine. What? It's not yours, and I see them, they're stuck in your body. He said, but it's not mine. He said, the moment that I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, this hand belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. This hand's the one to touch stuff they're supposed to not touch. This eye's supposed to not see stuff that I'm supposed to not see. This mouth should not talk what I'm not supposed to talk. This ear should not supposed to hear what I'm not supposed to hear. This feet are not supposed to go where I used to go before. Because it belongs to Jesus Christ. But you know what? Let's look more ahead because there's a lot of people, even me, have the rest of the chapter. Look what it says. 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister. Like a lot of Christians. Right, amen, preacher? You know what I'm talking about? Look what Martha says. Said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. For he had been dead for what? 4 days. This always excuse. I was hearing a cousin from pastor today. And I was preaching a message over there in the church of Pastor Chris today in the morning about the time, take advantage of the time. And I mentioned something in the sermon. And the cousin saw your sister, right? Your sister, Pastor Chris, eating and texting. And I talked something about that we don't even have time now to eat. We're on the phone, we're eating the table. And he said, hey, that was what the preacher was talking today in the morning. And she said, but I was just texting something important. And Pastor Chris said, but there's always a but. Martha said, Jesus Christ said, go ye and take away the stone. But Martha said, hey, Jesus, you understand? He stinks already. You understand? My baby's sick. You understand? I'm tired from coming to work. I cannot go to church. Hey, you understand, preacher? I'm so tired. I need to go to sleep to wake up early in the morning. I cannot read the Bible. We always have excuse. There's always a but in our lives. Jesus Christ said, go ye and take away the stone. But we don't want to obey God. Other people that are in jail, if you ask them, why do you kill somebody? It's because he did something to this. It's because he did that. It's because that. It's because that. And he never says, because my fault. We don't want to recognize it. And Martha didn't want to recognize what Jesus Christ was talking about. Number three, because time is going so fast. John. Let's look at the Bible. Verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of what? Of God. The Bible is talking about here about faith. We need to take away the stone. We need compassion. To take away the stone, we need to be obedient. To take away the stone, we need to have faith. The Bible shows us in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, we cannot please what? God. We need faith. I need faith to continue to be in the country of Honduras. You need faith. You understand, Pastor. My husband is so hard-headed. My wife's so hard-headed. You know what? If you have faith, faith can move every mountains. Faith can do and change your lives. Do you have faith for your family? Do you have faith for your country? I know our country is not that good, but we need to have faith so this country can be changed. This miracle cannot be done without obedience, without compassion, number one, without obedience, and without faith. And number four, I was going to say numero cuatro, number four, look verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaned in himself, came into the grave, and it was a cave, and stone lay upon it. Look what verse 41 says. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But look what the Bible says. They took away the what? The stone. This stone was not a little stone. This stone was a big stone. And I believe that we needed a lot of people had this. Amen? It worked together. To see something different. To see a miracle in our lives. To see a miracle in our family. To see a miracle in our country. To see something big that God wants to do in our lives. We need to work together. They needed to be a couple men working their heart to take away the stone. The stone could be removed without working together. We need to work together as a church. We need to work together as sons of God to take away the stone. I say, number one, we need compassion. Number two, we need to obey. Number three, we need faith. And number four, we need to work together. And lastly, you love that, right? Lastly, look what it says, verse 43. And then he, thou hast spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forward. We see the miracle. You want a miracle in your life? You want a miracle in your family? We need compassion. We need to be obedient to God. And we need to have faith. And we need to work together. But a lot of us, we want to jump all the way to number five without starting number one, number two, number three, number four. It doesn't work that way. It's step to steps so we can see the miracle in our lives. Do you want a miracle in your lives? Let's have compassion. Let's be obedient to God. Let's have faith. And let's work together so we can see a miracle in our country. We can see a miracle in our lives, a miracle in our family, a miracle for this city. Let's pray, Pastor.